Well, we want to first off, we want to. I mean, when we think about all that God has done for every one of our lives, and He has included every one of you, it's a blessing because we know that your prayers for us were effective in what God had called us to do. And it's tremendous to see, and the guys will attest to this as a fact, that it, as things were moving along the way that they move, and we would run into a particular issue, or the enemy would try to attack and do different things, the prayers that you guys had for us was quite amazing. And it just encouraged us, it strengthened us, and it blessed us as we went along the mission, knowing that you guys were praying. So that means you were there with us. Okay, you were not there physically with us, but spiritually you were there with us, and it was a tremendous experience, you know, from the missionary that goes forward part of it, to have the other missionaries back praying for us and just allowing the grace of God and His blessing upon us. So before we even start, I wanted to let you know that, but we want to start in a word of prayer, specifically for the Lord, just to bless you guys and to continue to strengthen you in what God has called you to do. So let's do that together as a family, and let's ask God's wonderful blessing. Father, we are humbled, all of us, as your children, that you've called us to help in the ministry of sharing the gospel throughout the world. It is an amazing thing, and it is a humbling thing that you've asked us to do this as a family. So we thank you very much, Lord, for all of the prayer warriors that are right before us right now. And we as a team, Lord, from our hearts, we would just ask that you would bless them, strengthen their families, encourage them, help them, Lord, to continue to put you first in every way and in everything, and that you would get the honor and you would get the glory. So, Lord, as we speak today about the things that you've done, and as we share the word today, we ask a blessing upon us. And Lord, we would communicate effectively what you've done. And we just want to thank you for it and ask your blessings now in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Now, as you see here, this is, if you've been to the website, you've seen the handiwork of one of our team members that did this. So he actually drew that up, and we use that as our logo. So you'll see that periodically. But if you didn't know, one of our team members drew that. And it's a wonderful blessing to us. When we saw it, we were like, yeah, we got to make this the logo, you know. And go ahead to the Dave, to the next slide. Now, this mission that the Lord gave us was called the PLE mission, P-L-L-E, the PLE mission. And it stood for the countries that the Lord had opened the doors for us to go to. One was Poland, one was Lithuania, one was Latvia, and one was Estonia. P-L-L-E, right? The PLE mission. And what, who was it, Dave? You were saying something about the PLE. You said that the people were pleading for us, right?
Yeah.
And then what happened at the end was that...
What happened?
He had said that, you know, the people were pleading for the gospel. But then when we were coming back, it's now we are pleading to the Lord for them, that God would just do. So it was a PLE mission all the way along the line. Now, as you see, it was in four stages. It was in four stages, and it covered over 23 days of outreach throughout the different countries. And if you notice, the first phase was Poland. Poland was the biggest country. And what happened with the first phase was only two guys were able to go on that first leg, which covered Poland. And so that was Dave and I. So Dave and I, we launched out, and we were the first team members to go into that country and begin to share the gospel. Now, I want you to notice something, too, about these countries. These countries did not have an outreach, as far as what we know, of the gospel in all of these cities that we went to. We didn't find anything. So it was sort of like a place where the gospel hadn't been, especially the way that, you know, we share the gospel. So it was quite interesting to go to a place that you could pretty much say the gospel is not being spread in those areas, especially the way that we do it. And then the second country was Lithuania. and the different cities that we targeted. The first one was Wesola, but what God did was when we got to these cities, we went into these cities, began to share the gospel in the different ways that we did, but yet we started going to other cities as well. So the Lord opened up other areas in those different countries. So it was quite amazing how God moved us to one city. We knew that's where we were to be. And all of a sudden, the Lord said, no, you need to go here now. So it was quite interesting. So the second phase was Lithuania. The third phase was going to be Latvia. How many ever heard of Latvia? Yeah, it's just a couple of you guys, right? Oh, you, oh, awesome, awesome. Okay, so, well, now you do. All right, so you got Latvia. So Latvia was another small country that God opened up the doors for us to go to on the third phase. And it was amazing amount of people that we met along the way. And we're going to talk about each one really quick. But then the fourth phase was Estonia. All right, but I want to tell you something very interesting that the Lord did. We had this all set. We know exactly what country we go. Oh, we know what city we go. Lord, yes, we go. Yes, we know. And right at the start, what did the Lord do?
He took us to Canada.
What are we going to Canada for? You know, we had no idea. But the Lord took us to Canada. He delayed our flight for another X amount, what, 24 hours or whatever it was. And it ended up being in a time when we can actually get out in the community and do exactly what he was sending us to do for the plea mission part of it. So the plea mission got a C in front of it, so for Canada. But it just goes to show you that, you know, we might have things set to go a certain way, but God says, well, I got something else for you to do, and you didn't even know about it, you know. And he provided all the resources. He provided everything for us, and it was amazing. You know, we took, what, buses and talked to people and trains and everything and got a chance to do some pretty amazing outreach. So you missed it, but that's okay. All the other guys missed it, you know, but us too. Okay, so let's go ahead to the first slide. And here is the first team on its way out, it was right here at St. Louis Airport, so it was a blessing to have Chuck there with us, who was part of our team. How many of you know all of our team members? We got Chuck, he's our senior team leader. We call him our senior team leader. So we got Chuck, and we got Dave, okay, who else? Who else we got? Josh Denham, Josh Moyer, who else we got? Jeremiah, this is Jeremiah, he'll introduce himself in a second, right? Who else we got? Steve, and we got me, okay? So there you go. And then we got all of you guys as the team members, okay? So we got that. So we went to the airport, you can see all the stuff we got to carry. We also carry the equipment, as you see, the bags down there are the on the right, or and the one I'm holding. Well, no, that's Dave. Dave, isn't that yours, the one right there? Yeah, that's Dave's. And then, but we got the movie equipment that shows the Jesus film. So we're always ready to show the Jesus film. So that's pretty cool. You know, going through customs and all that stuff is a little scary. They don't know what we're carrying in there. We got all these wires and stuff there. What do you got in the bag, you know? But anyway, so that's where we were. Okay, next slide there. Okay, so we ended up in Canada. So I'm going to have Dave share about that, because that's where we were, and you can take it from there and let them know what was going on.
So we walked around the city in Canada there. We had to take the bus and the subway to get there, and we were praying throughout the city as we were walking the different places. We ended up at that restaurant there, and they gave us permission to do some worship out in the patio area there. So Rich was playing guitar, and I was worshiping with him. And a lot of people were coming and going. A few people stopped to listen. And one of the things, it was like spiritual warfare right away there even. A lady came up, and she just started laughing like maniacally at us. And she didn't go away. She came even closer and sat at that table behind us there. And it was just really weird. You could feel like a weird presence there. So I closed my eyes and prayed that she'd go away. And when I opened my eyes, she was gone. I was like, where'd she go? But she was behind me walking away. And so you see there's like a beer store behind them too. And a lot of people were like hurrying to get in and hurrying to get out. I think they were like feeling conviction there or something. But I think one of the things about the worship we did everywhere we went, it was like people could feel the presence of the Lord. A lot of the places, there'd be people that just stood there and wouldn't want to leave. there were like several occasions where a guy would just sit with us the whole like 2 or 3 hours we were there for. And it just seemed like people really felt the presence of the Lord, and they got tracts while they were listening too. But yeah, we handed out a bunch of tracts going around there. We had some English ones on us, thankfully. And okay.
Tell them about Mr. Finkel.
Oh, okay. On the bus ride back to the airport, Rich had a chance to talk to a Jewish man named Arnie Finkel, was it? Arnie Finkel. And they went back and forth, you know, and it was funny because you saw that the Bible says the word of God is like a sword. And as Rich kept sharing scriptures with him that he didn't want to hear, it was just like cutting through the layers of lies that he had. And so he went from saying there is no God and I don't believe the Bible to saying, well, God's a loving God and he'll just let everyone into heaven, to saying, well, I just want to pay for my own sins. I don't want to accept Jesus' payment for them. So as you could see, it was going through the lies, and that's about the time we had to get off the bus, but he had stuff to think about, though, and yeah.
So Canada was quite interesting. So those of you that were praying for us for that, definitely, and as you can see, we were on the, this is just a picture of us on the train. One thing, though, that was really good was having your brother with you, next to you. Because whenever you're out there, the devil is very active. And I think our brother here is going to share with us about how the enemy, Jeremiah is going to share with us about how the enemy works in your mind. But, you know, when you're out there, you know, the devil immediately does not want you to do what God sent you to. He doesn't want you to mention Jesus' name. He doesn't want you to go over to somebody and give them a tract. He doesn't want you to go and encourage somebody that might be a saint. He says, oh, sit there quiet. Just be quiet. They're not going to receive you. But you have someone else, like Dave, praying, or me praying for Dave, regardless of what's happening. And it's amazing what happens when you start to do that. You know, it's quite interesting. And navigating through the trains out in Canada and things like that, the Lord sends help to you all the time. So if you don't know how to get around, you know, you don't fear those things. Okay, Lord, we're going to go out there and you're going to lead us. So it was quite interesting to do that too. Okay, let's go to the next slide, guys. Okay, now this was in Poland. This was when we got to Poland. Now the thing about Poland, because it's such a very big, it's a big country compared to the other ones. It's very spread out. We went right into the heart of Poland in Warsaw. And they have a lot of old areas, but they also have your more modern central, what they call the centrals of the area. And this is where it is. It's sort of like if you ever think about a big square area like 42nd Street, Times Square, those type. Well, this is what this place is like. It is bustling with people all over the place. Young people, older people traveling on the train systems there. So there was tons and tons and tons of people there. Now, we were out giving out tracts and ministering and engaging people. Now there was somebody else out there giving out tracts. Tell them what happened.
Okay. Yeah, as we went through that city, we were praying and looking for appointments and handing out tracts. We saw some of the enemy's tracts lying around, just like some bad things, advertising stuff and all. And I was praying against it. I was like, man, Lord, just get rid of these tracts with the rain or something. And then I thought, like, why am I not just picking them up and crumbling them up? So I just started picking them up. And it was really bad on just this one street. And so we were picking them up and we were leaving tracts behind. And that was pretty cool.
And it was a very dark area. Matter of fact, we, you know, because when we go, guys, and we're walking out, we're praying, Lord, lead us. Tell us where to go. I mean, we could go any street we want to. But Lord, tell us where to go. All of a sudden, we went down this street, and it was a long street, but it was a dark street, meaning there's a lot of very bad things going on that street. So we go down that street, because that's where the Lord wants us to go, down the street. So as we go down the street, I see all of those tracks that the enemy put, and I'm like, man, Lord, you got to lead me to somebody. Look, just bring him, you know. And all of a sudden, I see Dave disappear behind me, and he's going on these cars. He's ripping them off, and he's replacing them with the good tracks and everything. I'm like, Lord, bless my brother. Bless him. Bless him as he's doing that. And all of a sudden, on that street, we ran into a girl who was outside for where she worked, smoking a cigarette, and there she is. We engaged this young lady, spoke English, And I'm telling you, I mean, if she's not saved now, you know, it was just an amazing thing how God led us down that street to talk to the different people along the line. So Poland was very, very interesting in this area. Now, another thing that we did in Poland was we engaged people, and matter of fact, it was in this area, but in another area, that were very staunch, strong evangelists for the Catholic religion. And we were there, and what happened was we came to this area where tons of people are going up and down these stairs. So I got this bright idea from the Lord, well, just go stand on the edge of the stairs, and as people, because there's tons of people passing you, just give out the tracts. Just give them out in their language. Yeah, that's a good idea, right? So I said, Dave, you stand on one side, I'll stand on the other side. So Dave's over on one side, I'm on the other, people, tons of people up and down, and people are taking the tracts. The devil didn't like that. So he sent one of his evangelists, and Dave jumped in front of that dart that was coming with the shield of faith, and he started taking on the enemy while I was out there giving out all the tracts. Until I gave out all the rest, and I looked over him over there having a debate with these people. I grab his tracts. You keep fighting them and start giving out all the tracts. But tell them a little bit about what happened with that.
Yeah, the enemy was just trying to sidetrack us because as this lady was debating with me, you know, she wasn't receiving anything I said, and it was just stopping me from handing out tracts. So I said, well, it was nice talking to you, and I tried to shake her hand. She wouldn't shake my hand. And I just turned my back to her and started handing out tracts again, but she just kept debating me. But she was twisting a lot of scriptures, though. She was saying that God's heart's bleeding because we weren't part of the Catholic Church, and he wants all of them to be one church, all the believers. And she kept telling me that, and I was praying for wisdom from God, and the verse came to mind that said, Jesus said, I came not to bring peace, but to bring a sword. And so I told her that, and she stopped saying that thing over and over again. And then she went on to say other things, and then I saw that Rich was out of tracks, so that's when I handed him my tracks. And after he handed them out, we stepped aside with her and talked to her a little more. And she had like her Bible highlighted in different parts, but it was sad because she only highlighted the parts to use against us. It didn't look like she really was being fed from her Bible there. And so that was really sad and tragic to see. And it was just really sad to see the lies that she had believed from the devil, you know. They were so close to the truth, but they were twisted, and it was enough to keep her from Jesus. So it was really sad.
And just think about this. God sent us all the way over there to try to help her and love her and share the word of God as well as touch other people. Interesting, huh? It's pretty cool. Okay, so let's move on a little bit. This was an amazing time that we had. We were out in this a town called Augusto, Poland. God sent that. We don't know why God sent us to that city. But all of a sudden, he says, you're going to stay 2 days in this city. Okay, Lord, we're in this city for 2 days. So we go out, and how many have seen the way when you plow? Like, you remember the old days? I don't know, the old movies. And the plow, and you got the guy and the horses in the front or whatever, and the ground is breaking up with the plow, right? Well, here it was like plowing concrete. It was a hard area, and we would go out for hours, and we're talking to people, and it was like beating our heads against the wall. We said, okay, Lord, we're going to go do it. We love this, and we would love the people, and we'd do it, and it seemed like nothing would happen. We went to this one area by the water, sat down there on a bench, and said, Lord, send us people, right? Send us people. Lord, just send us people. And all of a sudden, we saw, 10 young men come out, right? And we said, wow, that was quick. They went the other way. I said, well, I guess that's not the people you want. So we got up and started walking, and guess who we ran into? These guys. And we got a chance to engage with them, share the gospel with them, love on these young men. And then what happened was we just went about our business, talking to other people. And the next, wasn't the next day? It was the same day. We went to some park that they had in the square, and we talked to some people. We said, let's get some food. We're going to get some, and we're going to eat in the park. We're going to sit there and eat, and then after we eat, we're just going to worship the Lord. And as we're worshiping the Lord, just off to the side of me, he saw it better because I'm playing. All of a sudden, these guys ride up on their bicycles because they knew who we were from early in the day. And we jumped up and started hugging each other, you know, and talking to each other. And all of the park people saw it like, whoa, how do these guys who we don't even know was in our park knows all of our young people? And all of a sudden, from that, it just opened up to a worship service where other people started coming around, started bringing their babies on strollers where before they wouldn't. It was just an amazing thing. And got a chance to engage people and talk to them. That was quite amazing. Tell them real quick about what happened with giving that track to that one guy.
Okay.
And this is just to show you what happens when you give one track where God's telling you, give it.
Yeah, it got to a point where I wouldn't give someone a track unless I felt God really telling me to, because so many people were rejecting them and stuff. And so I just asked God for discernment of who to give a track to, who not to, and we were running low on them too. And so Rich was playing guitar there, and I was sitting next to him, and I felt like I should really give this guy across from us on a bench a track. And so I went ahead and prayed about it and all, and went up to him and offered. I said, hey, this is for you. And he just shook his head and waved his hand like he didn't want it. And I said, please take it. And he still wouldn't take it. And then I just said, Jesus twice, because that's Jesus in Polish. And he actually took it at that point. And so I didn't even look at him to see if he was reading it. I just went back to the bench and started praying for him, just bowing my head and praying for him. And so I didn't see what happened, but Rich said he was watching him. And the guy not only read the track himself, but there were three older guys on a bench next to him, and they asked him what it was, and he took it to them, and all three of them read it too. And when they walked by us to leave, one of them gave Rich a thumbs up, he said, so that was pretty cool.
That was really cool. But all the time, think about this, guys, all the time, Dave was sitting there, what was the enemy telling you?
I don't remember what was it.
He's not give the track shot, right?
Oh, yeah, he was trying to discourage me from handing tracks out.
So what was happening was God was trying to prompt him to go give that man that track, and the devil was saying, no, don't give it. Don't give it. He's an old man. He's not going to receive it. Just hold that track. You ain't got that many more anyway. Just keep it in your pocket. You know, don't bring it out. But all of a sudden, because of that one track, it's just amazing the things that happen. And that's just one example of a lot of things that happen. That guy off to the right sitting down next to me there, that's Pablo, right? Truck driver out there. Matter of fact, we ran into him in a store. God led us to a store to go into to buy something to eat, which I love to eat, right? He led us into the store to go get something to eat. And listen to this. As we sat there next to him, engaged with him, talked to him, this guy, he had alcohol in his breath, but there was something going on deeper than that. And then just by God giving us a word of knowledge, we asked him, and then he says to us, he says, my father committed suicide. My wife was not even his wife. He has two kids, and the mother lives somewhere. All of these depressing things that were bringing him down, plus he's drinking. Can you see where he was going? He was spiraling down, and God led us there to minister to this guy. And then he met us, what, the second day? Tell him how long he was sitting there with us through the worship service.
Yeah, the second day, it looked like he was heading to the same restaurant there. And we waved to him, and he saw us and came and sat with us. And he was there for 3 hours that whole time there.
3 hours in a worship service in the park. And then when we were going to leave, he looked back at the bar or the restaurant, wherever he got his drinks from. He looked back as we walked this way. And he went like this to leave, and he looked at the bar, looked at us, and he turned and went with us all the way back out, and we walked him all the way back out. So it just shows you what the love of God was doing. And that was the city that there was no fruit. It was concrete. I'm telling you, Josh, you would have been like, oh, man. I mean, it was like plowing concrete. And all of a sudden, just before the last day God had us leaving, it was like fruit was springing up all over the place. So it was beautiful. It was beautiful. All right, so that was Poland. Now we move on, and guys, everything was done through driving. Everything was done through driving. How many of you have ever driven through Europe? Oh, boy, you don't want to go do it. But anyway, just ask the Lord's anointing, you know, and he did. He blessed us. And now, so what happened was, now we move on to the next country, which is in Lithuania. Now, Lithuania was where the baton was going to be handed off from Dave to Jeremiah to Steve and to Josh, because that's where that was happening there, okay, to Josh Moyer. So what happened was, Dave was preparing to leave. We were set. He led us from Augusto to Lithuania to a small city there, and we started ministering. Me and Dave, there was tons of things happened there in Lithuania before the other guys showed up for a few days with Dave, which was quite amazing. Okay, so a lot of things, we don't have enough time to talk all about that, but it's quite amazing. But then Dave left, and Lord bless every one of you for the prayers of getting Dave home safe and the other guys linking back up there with us in Lithuania. Now, that's where the baton was handed over to Jeremiah. Now, here's Jeremiah. Say hello.
Hey.
Well, this is Jeremiah, okay? He's our brother from the Northwest, up in the Northwest, and he's part of the team. He's been part of the team for a couple years now. We've done missions in Watts, California, of course, Marysville, and out and about as we went to do different things for the Lord. So here is Jeremiah. That's his mom, Belinda. We love her very much. And that's Madison. That's his sister right there. Okay? So, Jeremiah, I'm going to have him share a little bit of his travels, because he could not fly straight into Lithuania to link up with us. He had to actually go to Latvia, which was phase three, the third country. We had to get him flown in. Chuck had him fly in from Latvia to Lithuania to link up with the team, because we still had work to do there and then move along. So, but I wanted him to share a little bit about what the Lord did with him in that long 7-hour layover. And how God used that.
Yeah, so I had already had like a super long flight from to Germany and then to Latvia, so I was already like, you know, where am I? And I had ministered to a bunch of people on the plane, took pictures of them, stuff like that, so I get to Latvia, and I'm like, whoa, you know, I've never been even out of the States besides Canada, and so I'm like, whoa, this is crazy, and so I've got 7 hours to do, so I go up to the guy, and he's like, this is way too early, you can't check your stuff. Yeah, you gotta go take a nap or something. So I was like, oh, I can't sleep, you know, because I slept on the plane. So I'm gonna go, and I walk in, I see a chapel, and I'm like, oh yes, nice chapel, you know. So I go up there, and it's, you know, it's a Catholic type thing. It's got weird pictures on the wall, kind of, you know, just Jesus as a baby and stuff. And so I go up there, and I'm praying, and I notice my water bottle's gone. I'm like, it's hot, I want some water. And then I left it on the plane. And so I go back down and stuff like that, and I ask the guy, and he's like, yeah, you got to go to Lost and Found and stuff like that. So she says, the lady on the other end of the phone, she's like, yeah, you know, they already cleaned the plane, so we can't, you know, give you the stuff back, whatever, so you can call or whatever. And so I go out, and I go back up to the chapel, and I'm praying. I'm like, oh, you know, I want that water bottle, you know. And I'm praying. I go up there, and I just forget about it pretty much, because I go up there, and I just worship in the chapel for literally like probably 2 hours. I don't know how long, and reading scripture and stuff. And then, you know, someone came into the chapel, and they walked right out. I just saw the back of them, because they're probably like, what is this? And so I go back down. I go downstairs again, and there's this guy in the airport named Andres. And he is from Estonia, which is the last, you know, place we go. And I'm like, what? You're from Estonia? The only reason I know where that is because of this trip. So I'm like, whoa, we're going up there, whatever. And he's like, really? What are you doing? And I was like, man, we're telling people about Jesus. You know, do you know Jesus loves you so much? And he's like, yeah, we're atheists up there. We don't really, you know, believe in God or all that, whatever, and stuff like that. And I'm like, he still loves you, you know. And so I was like, I actually made a friend with him. We stayed for the remainder of the time till our flights leave. In fact, we were hanging out till, you know, he walked me to my place, and then right up to the time where it was time to board, really, is when we departed. It was cool. We got a really cool bond, and we connected on Facebook and stuff like that. Well, he makes wood stuff to support himself in Estonia. He's kind of poor, you know, and so the reason I approached him was because I wanted to charge my phone in his laptop, but he didn't have a working port in the laptop. It was like a broken down laptop. And so that's what started that. And I was eventually, I got to pray with them, pray for them. We got to talk about everything from homosexuality to abortion to a bunch of stuff, just because I, you know, he brought pretty much most of that stuff up. And what was cool about that is that it was almost like the deep prayer I had in the chapel was for the Lord to use me in this time. I don't want to waste this time that you've given me, 7-hour layover, you know. And I'm like, you know, I want to minister to people. And I was thinking I would minister to a bunch of people. You know, that's what you think. Man, I'm going to hit like 100 people or something like that with a bunch of tracks. And I got to spend 4 hours with one guy who, man, he just doesn't know the Lord. And he became my friend, you know. And I want to, you know, see him more. I'm sad I had to leave, you know, when I did. But that's what it is. It's about discipleship, you know. And I was like, man, he answered my prayer. Because I got to spend a good chunk of the time, you know, because sometimes we spend 3 seconds telling someone Jesus loves them, but they don't get to see our life. And he said something to me when he left. He's like, I've never met a Christian like you who treats me like a human, you know. I was like, man, they got to hear that. So, you know, I was like, that's my highlight pretty much of the trip, was that guy, because I want to talk to him more. But sorry for just crying on you guys, but anyway, he said, man, I told him I need to change my euros for American dollars for euros. And he's like, well, I need some American dollars, because he's going over to Boston to get a job there because he can't really support himself. And so I was like, man, so I got into my wallet secretively. He was on his computer, and I got on there, and I got some money. I said, what's your word for gift in Estonian? And he tells me, and I'm like, well, and I tried to pronounce it, but it's actually hard. I can't even remember what it is. And I gave him that, and he's like, oh, what? And he's like trying to look for some necklaces to give me or some, you know, because he works for his money, you know. He's like, and so he's like, oh, man, well, give me your address, and I'll send you something from Boston. Man, like, I'll make a cross. I've never made a cross before. I'm like, that's cool. And so... that's pretty much what happened in the Latvian airport, besides the water bottle thing, which is kind of a crazy story, but I don't know if we'll have time for that. But but anyway, yeah, then I got to Lithuania eventually, and I met up. I only got to meet and hang out with Dave for like 2 hours maybe or something like that, and then they went to the airport, and I just crashed on the bed. And he came back, and I was still asleep, but he's like, okay, I'm not going to wake him up. And then that's when Steve and Josh got there.
Yep. And that's when Steve and Josh, the guys, did a lot of hard work in their travels, and the prayers what has actually kept these guys. They went through a very big time change. They got there. But the whole time, every guy that showed up, their attitude was others. It was not themselves. At no time they were like, hey, give me a minute, you know, let me catch my breath. You know, they were there like, hey, oh, wow, we're already loving on people. Where can I fit in? You know, what can I do for others? So that was pretty cool. Here we were having our reunion with all the guys. We were all together that this particular time of the day to have some food, which, of course, I always love to eat. So our team eats good. The Lord just blesses. I thank him. I mean, if we have bugs to eat, we'll eat bugs, you know. If we have fish to eat, we'll eat fish. We had a guy, we were little, Dave and I, we were in Lithuania, right? And so we were getting a little hungry, you know. We weren't near no stores. And so we got dinner coming later. But, you know, Rich, you know, he's a little hungry. And so if we only had a snack, that would be nice, you know. But it's okay. Lord, we'll suffer for you. And some guy comes with a basket with these little fish in it that he dries up, and he just comes. We didn't know, right? He comes with a basket, and he doesn't speak English, and he says, this is how you eat them. You split the little fish open, you get all the little stuff that's inside the fish, and you eat it. And you got to eat what's given to you, right? So I gave it all to Dave. No. So no, I didn't. So Dave and I sat there, and the guy showed us how to eat them, and we knew he was watching us, so we ate all, and it was really good. It was really good, guys. So if someone gives you some dried fish that they have in their little basement, just eat them. It's okay. So we had a good time linking up with the guys. Next slide, in Lithuania. And then from there, Dave left. So we got him on the plane. He went out. We made sure he was wheels up. Everything was good. And then we took off on the long drive to our next country, which was Latvia. Okay, now this particular small country, The team arrives. Steve's there. Josh is there. I'm there. And Jeremiah's there. And it was an amazing time. Now, when we go through the borders, all of the borders are open. So we don't have to go through the border. Now, the border guards are still there. They can close their borders and check you and all that stuff. But we prayed. How many were praying for us to go through those borders with no issues? Okay, you guys were. There was only one border that we got stopped early in the morning. And we looked suspicious. So one guard called the other guard through their checkpoints and pulled us over. And when he pulled us over, he asked one question. Well, he asked for the you know, license, all of that. But he asked one question. He says to me, "Are you American soldiers?" It's the first thing out of his mouth, because American soldiers are all within that area helping protect their countries. And me being an ex-soldier, I wanted to say yes, but I couldn't, because it would have just got us through, you know. I says, "No." He says, "Oh, well, you have to get out and open up your car." So we went out. We're praying, "Okay, Lord, you know, whatever." We go, "We're legal. We're not carrying anything, you know." Soon as we opened the back trunk with all our luggage and the guitar all stuffed in there, he looked, "Oh, close it, close it, close it. You could go, you could go, you could go." So we're ready to go. Jeremiah jumps out of the car with a track and gives it to him and starts sharing the gospel with the Polish, with the border guards looking at us. And he's like, "Oh, okay, oh, what is this? Okay." And he actually starts reading the track and everything, which was good as we left. So that was a divine appointment. So it was a blessing. All right, next slide there. This one was interesting. Steve's not here to talk about this one. We split up two by two. We were four strong. So we actually hit that city. It's a very big city there for them out there in Latvia, Riga, yep, in Latvia. Well, we split two by two. Josh Moyer was working with Jeremiah, and then it was me and Steve. Me and Steve. Anyway, so it was Steve and I, and we went out. Well, the interesting thing working with Steve is more of a, you know him, I want to say intellectual when it comes to talking to people. You know, he sort of like wants to bring things. Well, really, you know, and he gets into that stuff. You know, me, I'm a little different. I'm like, "You need Jesus now." You know, but Steve gets to the heart of the matter. So that's what actually happened with this guy. This guy was walking down the street. His name is Arthur. We engaged him. Steve engaged him. We both did. Steve sort of like got to the heart of the matter with this kid. And then and then we needed direction somewhere as we're walking. So he says, "Well, I'll show you." So we walk with this young man, Arthur. We walk with him. And then through our conversation with him, it comes out that this guy is searching for Jesus. And he needs to accept Jesus Christ as his Lord. So as we're walking down, it's hard to see. Right in between us down there, there's like a bridge down there. There's a tree. You can see a lot of trees, but there's a tree off to the right. Anyway, I say that for this reason. As we're walking down, Steve took the picture because he went behind me and took a picture there. But anyway, what happened was it got to the point, talking to this guy, that he needed the Lord and he needed to make a commitment. Then he was ready. We stopped by that tree that's over there by that bridge area. And I said to him, I says, "Look, Arthur," right here, he spoke perfect English, "right here, right now," I says, "in your country by this big old tree, would you be willing to give your heart to the Lord Jesus Christ?" And he says, "Yes, I will." And I bowed his head and asked the Lord Jesus Christ to come into your heart. This guy's face was all aglow. He's all happy. He's taking my phone number. He's taking a picture of my Facebook. He wants to get in touch with us, you know. He wants to come to the Jesus film that night and everything. Oh, it was awesome. So it was a wonderful, wonderful time. But in this, but what happened was while we were there, wasn't this the place where you were at the park? Okay, tell them what happened at the park with the music.
So only, you know, one group could take the car. So we're like, they went on a walk and we're like, "Well, let's take the car to a park and just go play some worship." So we went to the first park we went to. I was like, "Yes." And I'm just getting the guitar out. And then Josh gets out and he's looking at it. He's like, "We might not want this park." And so I'm like, "What? Why not?" And I look at it, it's just kids. Just kids. He's like, "Well, that might be weird or whatever." But we saw a group of Russians. And he's like, "Well, let's put the guitar back, but let's talk to these Russians." That's what Josh Moyer said. So we go over there and we talk to these Russians, and they don't really speak any English. I'm like, "Hey, how's it going, guys?" And they're like, "No English," or whatever. And so we just, all of them took a track. I mean, like 10 of them, because we had the Russian tracks. And so we didn't really get to talk to him, I think. Josh said something to him, and one guy did understand English. I wish Josh could say whatever, but I can't remember. But then, so we get in the car, and we go to the, where he finds another park on his phone, and we go over there, and it's a huge park. And so I'm like, man, there's so much sun and stuff. Like, I don't want to play in the sun. I want to play in the shade, somewhere in the shade or whatever. So we go, and we walk by, there's a basketball court, where they're playing like rap music and stuff like that. And it's just talking about doing drugs and all that stuff. And then right next to it, there's a kids park where there's little kids playing. It's like, whoa, you know? And so I was intimidated actually. Cause I was like, that's a good shady spot. I want to go play right there. But it was intimidating. And so I was like, man, I know this is the enemy. And so I was like, hey Josh, let's pray real quick. So we pray. It's just like what happened in Watts when we went down there, there was fear. And so I was like, so he prayed. And then the fear was gone, so we go over and sit down. Actually, first we put our guitar there, and we talked to some kids that were right there, and gave them a track, and he's like, oh, give them to this guy, and the one guy's name was Jesus or whatever, so a nickname. And so we gave it to him, and we go over and sit down and start playing, and I was assuming that they would turn up the music, because that's what they do in America. They'll drown your music out with theirs. And they didn't, actually. I was playing, and I kind of lost track, and I was just worshiping, and then I stopped one song, and I noticed that their rap music was stopped playing. I was like, what? When did they turn that off? And Josh was like, they turned it off like after the first song or second song. I was like, whoa. And so I was like, oh. And so I started playing louder, and just worshiping louder, and the wind blew super hard. It blew all my music everywhere, and I'm like, oh, whoa. But I didn't stop because I memorized at least that part of the song. I don't really memorize all my songs. But anyway, and I was worshiping, and then I stopped, and I was like, hey, Josh, why don't you go play basketball with him? He's like, I did. He was playing while I was worshiping. It was crazy. And it was funny. When I stopped and when we were packing up, I was like, whoa, it feels so much different. Yeah. It felt like when you first go, it was like so... You know, I mean, it was sunny, but it was dark. And then when we got up and left, it was like, you know, kids were playing and, you know, stuff like that. And it was just amazing, the spiritual difference of that. It was crazy.
Yeah. So it's amazing what the Lord does when he comes in. Now, a little bit of light. What does a little bit of light do to darkness, guys? Right. That's all it takes, right? A little bit of light. It's like I was telling you, young man, I says, you know something about Jesus, and all you got to do is sit with another young boy, you know, young man, your age, young boy, and tell him, you know, what you know about Jesus. It's amazing. It's amazing because a lot of these people didn't have it. Let's go to the next slide. We had a movie night, which was great to show out there. Josh, you would have really got a kick out of this one. We went out and... we didn't know where we were going to show the movie. God had us a place. We set up the movie, got it all. The enemy was fighting us from the very beginning. I mean, everything from the wind coming out of nowhere to blow stuff down. So we had to redo stuff to make sure that the wind doesn't blow it. Then once we redo it right, then there's no more wind. Amazing, right? So all of these things that happened. The electricity. We needed electricity. We found electricity. Josh came up with an idea, plug it into the hotel across the street, run it across the street. I says, the cars are going to destroy the cord. I don't even have a cord that long. So we found a cord that long. Everything worked out, right? Everything we were coming up against, the enemy did. We kept moving forward. Oh, the movie's looking good. Everything's perfect. We got it all up. Now, remember, the sun doesn't go down there until like maybe never. You know, so you got to fight that. But we had it by these trees. It was nice. Everything's looking good, right, Dave? Oh, well, Dave wasn't there. Anyway, so everything was going great, right? So it was beautiful. So everything's looking good. And then all of a sudden, we turn the power on, and all of a sudden, I mean, the sound system that we had, which is a beautiful sound system, go to the next slide there real quick. And you can see, well, it's hard to see it, but a really good sound system. Both speakers blew. I got no sound. Huh. I take one step back. I go, huh. Lord, if you don't want us to have the movie, it's all right with me. But we need the sound. Well, there's two fuses in the back. Josh pulls the fuses out, looks up. Yep, fuses are blown. I don't have any fuses. Jeremiah, get in the car and go down there and store and try to find. It's 9 o'clock at night. Who's going to have fuses? He goes down. They go. And all of a sudden, I'm standing there going, huh. Okay, Lord. They come back. Oh, boy, they're back quick. that could be good or bad. Nope, they don't have no fuses. All of a sudden, there was a drunk there in that community that Jeremiah befriended, shared the love of the gospel with him the day before, right? Was it the day before? Shared the love of God with him, ministered to this guy. I'm swollen hands and you know, it doesn't speak no English, it's all Russian. But this guy wants to share, so it's not him, it's the Lord, in him, loved this guy, spent time with him. Out of nowhere, I'm standing there. Remember, I'm standing there going, huh, okay, Lord, whatever you want to do. I look off to my right. This drunk guy comes walking down the street, comes through the park, comes right up to me. And I go like this. I need two of them. He goes, and walks off. Just walks off. These guys park the car. They come back. You get any fuses? Nope. And I'm like, huh, okay, Lord. Whatever you want to do is fine with me. We need fuses. Please provide us fuses. That guy, what was he doing, Jeremiah, right? Yeah, he went to go get, I don't know, hopefully get fuses. What did he bring back?
Bag of
He brought back a bag of Russian fuses. He goes, Russia, strong. I said, Josh, here's some Russian strong fuses. See if they work. He puts them in, they work. And the movie went on. And he was ministered to, the drunk guy. You know, so isn't that something how God did that? You know, the Lord said, don't worry, don't sweat it. It's all on me. I'll get you. This guy just came out of nowhere. So that was amazing. We got a chance to minister to a lot of people that night. With the movie, it was quite amazing. They'd never seen anything like this before in their own language. So the movie was a great outreach to that community. It was a blessing. It really, really was a blessing. So that's how that went, guys. Next slide. And then after that, we moved on to Estonia, which was our last country there. We were pretty much wiped out by then, all the driving and everything. Plus, we had to drive all the way back through all the other countries to get out of to get back to the States. But Estonia ended up being a very interesting city, Tallinn, where we went. There's lots of cities there, but Tallinn was the largest. God sent us there. We didn't know what to expect when we got there. But this particular country became a place, for whatever reason, to be a place that our hearts would really feel that God really loved those people. God was using us in the gift of a word of knowledge for people, and it was quite amazing that we would run into people that needed a word and that God spoke to people specifically, and we were very thankful for that. In Estonia, it was still a hard place. A lot of people don't want to hear the gospel, but we got a chance to love on people and to share the gospel in many, many ways that would take us all day to talk about. But I do want to share one thing that happened. Jeremiah, you know, with the Josh giving the tracks out and us being off to the side. And but we want to share with that one really quick.
Okay. So we were... I wanted to get some souvenir type stuff for my mom and my sister. So we were going and we're walking in and even ministering to people around the little, it was a tourist trap basically. So there weren't very many people who were just Estonians, right? And they all either spoke English or French or German or wherever they were from. And so we were in there handing out some tracks, but Josh was like, here, you know, we parked at a place we had to pay, right? And so we only paid for 1 hour, and we were there, and it was almost up. So Josh was like, hey, that meter's almost up. I'm going to go pay that meter, grab some more tracks from the car, and I'm going to go, you know, hand out tracks. So we're like, okay, cool. You know, and like Rich says, we don't normally break up. You know, we don't usually have just one guy by himself, but we felt it was a good idea. And so we are going on. We're, you know, finally going, and we get back to the square part or whatever, and he comes walking up, Josh comes walking up, and we're like, what did you do, you know? And he's like, I went over by the bus stop, because it was a, you know, the tourists, he's figured the tourists wouldn't take that bus, because it was just a normal bus or whatever, and so he started handing out tracts at machine gunning them at the people at the bus stop. And so we were like, whoa, that was a good idea. And so we did it. We did it again. We hit it again. And we handed out a lot of, I don't know how many tracts at that bus stop. Well, a lot of them, you know.
Yeah, it was. It was, and it wasn't a regular little bus stop, guys. This bus stop went probably from here past the church. I mean, it was a long bus stop where you had tons of people sitting there. And then Josh went over there by himself, started giving out tracts and engaging the people and talking to them. So that was pretty cool to see how the team did that. But Estonia, guys, I don't know. It's just something about Estonia where we were. God just put them on our heart. Although all the countries are on our heart. But something about Estonia, it's just something about it that God is doing amazing things in people's lives just by us being there. People never heard the gospel the way we share it. People were going through different things in their life. God told us that they were going through it. We told them. Everything. So it was quite amazing how God used us there throughout the whole mission. Then what happens from Estonia, once we finished Estonia, guys, we ended up, got in the car, packed up our stuff, said goodbye to the place where we were staying, and we started driving all night long. Took us like 14 hours to drive all the way back to Poland. So we went through those countries, through different countrysides. We had divine appointments throughout the way on our stops. Amazing things that happened, all kinds of things. Your prayers were all much needed through all of that. And then we ended up, the last slide, we ended up mission complete back at the ranch, worshiping the Lord, thanking the Lord for what he's done and how he's done it. And every single thing that God wanted to do through us, our prayer was, Lord, we just want to do it. And not one time did anybody say anything. I don't know if you guys have heard it but from any of the other guys. Did anybody say anything, this is tough or it's me or it's about me? I didn't. It was always about others. This whole mission was all others-centered. Isn't that a blessing? That's a blessing. So that's a small slideshow. We're going to do more when I get back home, put it on the website, so you'll be able to see a lot more of awesome pictures and stuff and things that happen. But right now what we want to do, Chuck, is we want to have Dave come and share something from the Word that is applicable to what we did, and then I'm going to come after him for about 5 or 10 minutes, close out with that, with something from the Word that is applicable, that really, really is what we need to hear. Okay, so go ahead, brother. Lord bless you as you go on there.
I just wanted to share some verses that ministered to me on the trip there through the different devotion times and things. The first one is in John, I think it's 15. John 15, 5. But the whole trip, though, you just had to rely on God for everything. You had to rely on him for a love for the people and for getting through the spiritual warfare and for getting for the boldness to hand out the tracts and things. So John 15, verse 5 says, let's see here. I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit. For without me, you can do nothing. And that was just something that ministered to me and reminded me how we needed to be or have our faith and trust in God for all those things. I had to rely on God's love. God reminded me how much he loved me and showed me that his love was sufficient for me. So as long as I have God's love for me, I don't care if the rest of the world hates me. And that was something God taught me there in preparation for the trip. And in 1 John 4:9, it describes God's love. Sorry if I'm going through these verses fast. You can write them down to look at them later too. But 1 John 4:9 says, in this, the love of God was manifested toward us, that God sent his only begotten Son into the world that we might live through him. And so God loves us that much, you know, that he sent his only Son for us. And we all know that. We all know the gospel. But it's important to remember that love he has for us. And that really helped me to be more bold and not worry about rejection, you know. It's like, I was reminded of how much God loves us, and it's like, okay, now I can hand out these tracts without worrying about rejection or things like that. Psalm 34:8. This is something that we prayed a lot on the trip with me and Rich there. But Psalm 34:8 says, "O taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man who trusts in him." And that's what our prayer was, that these people would taste that the Lord was good, that they get a small taste of him so that they would hunger and thirst for him more and want to know him. And so in order for them to get a taste of God, what did we need to do? We needed to portray Jesus' love, and the only way that's possible is to be close to God in the word, in prayer, in the fellowship, and in praise songs that we were singing. So whenever we were driving anywhere, we'd be sharing a verse with one another, or we'd be praying together, or we would be singing praise songs. And so we needed to stay close to God so that people could see Jesus when they looked at us. That's what we wanted. And that was also my prayer that if they got a taste of God, you know, even if they didn't receive the tracts we gave them, even if they didn't hear the gospel from us, if you turn to Matthew 7, verse 7, Jesus says here, "Ask and it will be given to you, seek and you will find, knock and it will be opened to you, for everyone who asks receives, and he who seeks finds, and to him who knocks it will be opened." So my prayer was that if they got a taste of Jesus, you know, if they would seek him, you know, on their own, even if after we've left, I'm sure that God is powerful enough and graceful enough to reveal himself to them when we're long gone, and, you know, they miss the opportunity to take the track. And so that was our prayer, and that's something that we should continue to pray for, I think, is that they just continue to be hungry and thirsty for the Lord, and that they continue to seek him when they remember the picture of Jesus we showed them, hopefully. And another thing that got me through this trip was God gave me a heart of compassion and love for the people. No one really laughed at us for sharing Jesus, but I was prepared for them to laugh at us. I wasn't going to let it bother me. I was thinking, you know, if they reject Jesus, they're going to spend an eternity in hell weeping and gnashing their teeth. So I want them to laugh as much as they can while they're here on this earth, even if it's at me. And so that was something God really laid in my heart there. And no one really did laugh at us, but it just gave me more of a heart for the people to want to give them these tracts and witness to them. And one passage that really touched my heart was in Revelation chapter 3, verse 17. And I'll be on this one for a minute here if you want to turn with me here. But in Revelation 3:17, it's talking about these different churches here. And it says, "Because you say, 'I am rich, have become wealthy, and have need of nothing, and do not know that you are wretched, miserable, poor, blind, and naked, I counsel you to buy from me gold refined in the fire, that you may be rich, and white garments that you may be clothed, that the shame of your nakedness may not be revealed, and anoint your eyes with eye salve, that you may see.'" And there were so many people rejecting tracts in Poland, and they were rejecting Jesus. And they were content where they were. They didn't want anything to change in their lives. They were content with their smartphones and with their, I don't even know what they were content with, but they didn't want Jesus. They were happy the way they were. And they didn't realize that they were wretched, miserable, poor, blind, and naked. And so that really affected me there and gave me God's love for them. And in verse 19 here in Revelation 3, it says, "As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Therefore, be zealous and repent. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come into him and dine with him, and he with me. To him who overcomes, I will grant to sit with me on my throne, as I also overcame and sat down with my Father on his throne. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches." And so Jesus loves us so much, he wants to fellowship with us, and he doesn't hold anything back. Everything that Jesus received from the Father, he shares with us to some extent. And I was just blown away by that. It's something I never really thought that deep about before. But that's the love Jesus has for us and for these lost people, and they just don't even know what they're missing out on. And so Jesus still loves us when we're so unworthy of his love, and he still loves us in our failures and in our unworthiness, but it makes him all the more worthy that he loves us like that, even though we're undeserving of it. And so we wept for these people in these countries as we prayed for them and traveled through their countries, and we loved on them, but not as much as God does. So keep praying for them. Let's see here. Another big thing that helped us through this trip was God's peace. If you look at Colossians chapter 3, verse 15. But yeah, this is something we kept praying about and praying for. And every time we prayed for it, God gave us that peace. Colossians 3, let's see, 15. But it says here, and let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to which also you were called in one body, and be thankful. And so the way it's worded there, it sounds like the peace of God is always right there available for you. You just have to let it rule in your hearts. And so that was something we prayed about to help us understand and to help that God would give us there. And every time we prayed for that peace, he gave it to us. And he used that to direct us to, you know, we'd as Rich was saying a lot, we'd have a peace about going one place but not another. So we went the place we had peace about, and that's where the divine appointments were. So God gave us the wonderful opportunity to serve him in Europe, and he gave you guys the opportunity to serve him with us in prayer, and we're so grateful for that. You could tell that people were praying for us by the divine appointments we had and the lack of spiritual warfare we had at times. And so thank you guys for that. And he brought us through it by his grace. And so let the peace of God rule in your hearts, brothers and sisters. And I love you all. Thank you.
Well, turn in your Bibles to Luke chapter 5. There in Luke chapter 5. Give me a couple of minutes here. Shouldn't be too long. Here is a quick little snapshot at the very beginning here of our Lord and Savior through his ministry in Galilee. And one thing that the Lord mentioned about the people of Israel is that he said that they are the lost sheep of the house of Israel. He said that in Matthew chapter 15, that they were the lost sheep of the house of Israel. And you know, it's amazing that it was the people that Jesus's attention was always focused on. It was the people, it was the hearts of the people, the lives of the people that were of great concern, because they were lost. And as you look here, right here in chapter 5, let's look at just three verses. Let's read those, and I want to apply a couple of things to our lives as far as this idea or attitude of our Lord looking at the lost and what he's going to do about it. In verse 1, chapter 5 of Luke, it says, "Now so it was, as the multitude pressed about him to hear the word of God, that he stood by the lake of Gennesaret, and saw two boats standing by the lake, but the fishermen had gone from them and were washing their nets. Then he got into one of the boats, which was Simon's, and asked him to put out a little from the land, and he sat down and taught the multitudes from the boat." Now, Jesus was always drawing people to himself. There was just something about Jesus that he drew people to himself here, the multitudes. They were pressing upon him. But I want you to notice something, guys. You don't see any gimmicks here. You don't see any extra type of added anything to draw people, do you? You don't see any lights. Well, we didn't have lights back then, no candles, right? You don't see any lights. You don't see any fog. You don't see any circus animals. You don't see any of those things, right? All it was Jesus. The thing that draws people to Jesus is Jesus. And the more that people are around him, you notice that they were even more drawn to him. And I think that's quite amazing, because in our lives it's the same way. When we begin to live the life of Christ, it begins to draw people to him. Now, how many here want to be drawn closer to the Lord? I mean, come on, that's us. That's all of us. Every one of us wants to be pressing into the Lord, right? Well, turn in James chapter 4 and verse 8. Now, I want you to turn there. I want your eyes to look on this scripture, the beginning part of James chapter 4, verse 8, and it's going to tell us how to do that. Okay, so look at James. Let's go to James. Let me get to James here. And we're going to go to chapter 4, and look at verse 8, just the beginning part of verse 8. And it says, draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. So draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. How do I do that? Well, Rich, how do you do it? Well, let's take a minute in our lives and settle our hearts away from the things that's going on. Let's get a quiet place. And let me begin to thank the Lord for the things that he's done in my life, past, present, future, and what he's going to do. And just begin to, with my words, say, Lord, I thank you for this day. And then after that, I want to quietly begin to use my words and worship him, whether in song or in poem or whatever, and just say, Lord, I just want to thank you. I want to worship you right now. And then I want to open the word of God. And I want to begin to open his word and let his word speak to me. And begin to have those wonderful words of God begin to penetrate. And begin to point things out in my life and says to me that I love you with an everlasting love. And then I want to read scriptures in there that says to that draws my heart to him, that says to him, I will never leave you nor will I forsake you. And those type of things. And all of that does, all of that type of thing that does, it draws me closer to the Lord. And just think of the wonderful thing, guys, when you begin to do that, you begin to see the Lord fulfill his word, and he begins to draw closer to you. And I think that is something very needed that we need to see each and every day. But I want you to notice something, too, in these three verses that we read. Notice that Jesus was focused on the people. It was the people that Jesus was focused on all the time. The people were pressing him, right? And what was it they were pressing him for? Did you see that? Look what it says in verse 1. It says they pressed about him to do what, guys? Hear the word of God. That's what they were pressing into. The word of God is powerful. It's living. It's sharper than any two-edged sword, right? It's piercing, the dividing of asunder of bone, right? And marrow and soul and spirit. It's a discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart. That's what God's word does. And that's what was happening here as they listened to the words of Almighty God himself. They were listening to God's words. Now, I want you to notice something, though, here that Jesus, it says here in verse 2, that he saw. It says that he saw. Now, because Jesus is God and knows everything, guys, he sees everything. He sees everything going on in your heart. He sees everything going on in your life. He sees everything in your surroundings. He knows everything. Now, here Jesus is standing by the Lake of Gennesaret, and it says that he saw. What was he looking at? What was he doing? He was looking at what? He was looking at a couple of boats, wasn't he? But why was he looking at a couple of boats? It's because he saw the people were pressing and they needed to hear the word of God. And he knew that in that confined area where he was at, something had to be done to get the word out to the mass. Did you see what was going on there? There was a crowd of people pressing him. He was sharing the word, but he knew that the word wasn't getting out to all of those other people. They weren't hearing it. So he stood. I love when he stands, because when the Lord is in charge, he's going to take charge. He stood and he looked and he was figuring out what plan am I going to use to get this word out. And lo and behold, he saw two boats that were just parked over there in the water. And then what does it say that happened, right? He's going to use one of those boats. Now, it is no doubt in all of it was hard to hear. He came up with this plan. Remember, he came up with the plan, didn't he? No one gave him that plan. He came up with a plan how to reach the masses. And guess what? I know that there's masses out there that we saw in our mission and on that needed to hear God's word. I don't have a plan. Who do I go to for my plan to reach the people? To Jesus. So if ever you want to reach somebody in your neighborhood, if you want to reach your neighbor, if you want to reach someone in your school, on your job, or wherever, you want the gospel to get out, you got to go to Jesus and tell him, Lord, I want to reach these people. Please give me the plan that you got for me, because I know your plan's going to work. So you see how that works? By drawing near to God, you're spending time with him. He can speak in your ear and give you the plan and how to reach the people around you. And that's exactly what happened with this mission and how it all transpired, by being close to the Lord and hearing the Lord and giving us a plan and how to reach the masses. Now, I want you to notice something, too, that's very interesting. It says here that the people were there to hear God's word. Here's something very interesting. Turn real quick to James chapter 1. James chapter 1, and I want you to see an ingredient, the double ingredient to hearing God's word and how important this is. James chapter 1, I know you know where I'm going, guys. Verse 22. And it says there, be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. You know, a lot of people heard the word. A lot of us are hearing the word. The other part of that ingredient is to do it. And I know God is speaking to you without a doubt, because he loves you. I love you, but he loves you very much. And he's trying to tell you something about whatever it is. And I know you're hearing it because you're a sheep, right? Isn't that what the word says? My sheep what? Hear my voice. And now the beautiful part of that is they follow, so they're doers of the word. So let God continue to do that in your heart. So he looks over here, he sees these boats, right? And then he goes over there, and what does he do? He goes over there and he fixes this problem, right? The problem was he needed to get the word out to the masses. So he stands up, he gets all of those surrounding people to be able to hear him by those boats. But notice that this effective plan, an idea that came from Jesus for the people to hear his word, he was going to use a vessel, right? He was going to use a vessel. Now, this vessel that we see here, and it says he saw two boats standing by the lake, those boats had to be available and usable. If those boats weren't available, if they weren't there's no way the Lord Jesus is going to use that boat. So it's available. Now it had to be usable. Now, if there were holes in that boat and it was propped up there, there's no way he's going to use that boat. If that boat was maybe propped up on land for sale, like you go to a place where you have a car dealership, right? And the car's in the office there. What do they call it? In the showroom. Hey, I want to take this for a spin. Not this one. You got to go out and get one that's usable, available. Well, this boat ended up being usable as well as available. And you know what's something else about this boat? This boat was a smelly fishing boat. I can guarantee it, you could know that that was a fishing boat when you looked in it. And even though it was a wooden, old, simple, smelly old fishing boat, the Lord said, I'm going to use that vessel. Sometimes that's how I feel about my life. A smelly old wooden fishing boat. But you know what? There's something amazing, though. It's available. The Lord's going to use it. And you know, there's something else about that boat. That boat had been used before. Did you notice that? It said that they were, the fishermen had parked them there and they were fishing their nets. They had used that boat before. It was tested. And some of you have been tested, if not all of you. God's used you to share the gospel, to share just the love of Jesus with someone somewhere, somehow. And God says, you know what? If you're available, you're usable. I'm standing and I'm looking at the masses and I'm going to come up with a plan on how to get the word out. It might be one person like it was with Jeremiah for 4 hours. Or it might be a multitude as it was when Josh went out there and just started tangling with the enemy, giving out tracts to all those people. Either way, Lord, I'm available and I'm usable. And I'd like you to use me. And that's what this whole mission was all about. Having just some boats parked off to the side that the Lord, as he stood in charge and looked at the masses and says, you know what? I'm going to use you. And he came in and he pushed out and he did what he had to do. You know, if someone is here, and I know most of you, you know the Lord Jesus is your Lord and Savior. But if there's someone here, or someone that you know that does not know Jesus, this is a perfect opportunity in history for them to bow their hearts and say, Lord, I need you to come into my life. I need you to take charge of my life. My condition in my life is not what it should be. I want to be usable. I want to be available. But Lord, I need to draw near to you. And not only do I need to draw near, I need to hear your word. And not only do I need to hear your word, I need to do your word. So Lord, please take charge of my life. And I just pray that, Lord, I could just be that a usable and available vessel for the work of the Lord. And those of you that are saints, which is those of you that I know here that love the Lord Jesus Christ, I'm going to finish this with an encouraging scripture from 1 Corinthians. Turn there, chapter 15. And this is something that the Lord has impressed on my heart for you today, as well as from Luke chapter 5, 1 through 3. I want you to look at 1 Corinthians chapter 15, and then I'm going to pray, ask God's blessing, and then Chuck, we'll turn it right back over to our pastor. Look at verse 58, and this is what I know the Lord is saying to you guys. The Lord is saying, therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Father, we want to thank you very much for this opportunity to have shared about what you did on the plea mission. You've blessed us, you've kept us, and you've watched over us. Lord, we all are your vessels. Lord, fill us with your spirit. Continue to draw us closer to you, to hear your word, to not only hear it, but to obey it. And Lord, we want to be available and usable for your purpose of reaching others. And Lord, we know that one beautiful thing is that you will always not have your word return void. It will always accomplish what you send it out to do. So thank you for the opportunity today. Use us, we ask in Jesus' name. Amen.